Our first reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 56, verses 1 to 8. This is what the Lord says: maintain justice and do what is right, for my salvation is close at hand, and my righteousness will soon be revealed. Blessed is the one who does this, the person who holds it fast, who keeps the Sabbath without desecrating it, and keeps their hands from doing any evil. Let no foreigner who is bound to the Lord say, the Lord will surely exclude me from his people. And let no eunuch complain, I am only a dry tree. For this is what the Lord says: to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbath, who choose what pleases me and hold fast to my covenant, to them I will give within my temple and its walls a memorial and a name, better than the sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that will endure forever. And foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord, to minister to them, to love the name of the Lord and to be his servants. All who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it and who hold fast in my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. The sovereign Lord declares, he who gathers the exiles of Israel, I will gather still others to them, besides those already gathered. This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 15, verses 21 to 28. The faith of the Canaanite woman. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, Lord, son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession. Jesus did not answer a word, so his disciples came to him and urged him, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. The woman came and knelt before him. Lord, help me, she said. He replied, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. Yes, Lord, she said, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered, woman, you have a great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. We concluded our short series on difficult Bible passages a few weeks ago, but today's passage from Matthew's Gospel could easily have been part of it. A woman comes to Jesus, pleading for mercy, and Jesus ignores her. Then Jesus appears to call the woman and her daughter dogs. This isn't the Jesus we learnt about in Sunday school. So today, I'm going to ask three questions. Is Jesus indifferent? Is Jesus a misogynist? Is Jesus racist? Let's take each question in turn. First of all, is Jesus indifferent? Why do I ask this? Well, I've already said why. A woman comes to Jesus pleading for mercy. Her daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly. And, says Matthew, Jesus did not answer a word. Jesus ignores this woman, this mother in need. Why? Matthew doesn't say. It could be that Jesus at this point in the story is asleep. In broader context, Jesus has just had another altercation with the Pharisees and teachers of the law. And it's possible he's knackered, mentally and physically. He needs to rest. And so Jesus and his disciples have withdrawn from Gennesaret on the Sea of Galilee's northwestern shore to presumably a more isolated area where they can recharge. But perhaps Jesus is awake, but just doesn't want to see anyone. Or perhaps Jesus doesn't say anything because, as a rabbi, he sees this as a learning opportunity for his disciples and wants to see how they'll respond to this woman. I'm sure there are other possible reasons for why Jesus stays silent, but Matthew doesn't give us any. Not any explicit reasons, anyway. And because Matthew doesn't give us any reasons, the question is legitimate. Is Jesus indifferent? Is Jesus indifferent to this woman's, this mother's plea for mercy? Doesn't Jesus care? This leads to the second question. Is Jesus a misogynist? Does Jesus hate women? Is Jesus prejudiced against women? Has the patriarchy made Jesus forget God created humanity, male and female, in God's image? Again, Matthew doesn't give us an answer. But I don't think he suggests Jesus is ignoring the woman simply because she's a woman. It's possible the disciples are, of course. The woman is crying out, shouting, even shrieking, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me! Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me! Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me!" We all know men the world over don't like noisy, shrill women who say the same thing over and 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 over again. Nevertheless, she persisted. I've no doubt the disciples wanted the woman gone. She was, after all, disturbing their peace and quiet. On the other hand, I'm not sure they were acting entirely selfishly. Our translation says the disciples went to Jesus, urging him to send her away. But the Greek could easily mean something like set her free. That is, something like send her away, but with her request granted. So it is possible the disciples just want the woman gone. She's pestering them and stopping them from getting some much-needed rest. But it's also possible the disciples can't see why Jesus just doesn't do what the woman wants so she can go back to her daughter happy and leave them alone. And here the third question raises its ugly, ugly head. Is Jesus racist? Of course not, we might instinctively say. Of course Jesus isn't racist. Racism is a sin. Jesus did not sin. Ergo, because these kind of arguments always require an ergo, don't they? Ergo, Jesus was not racist. Fair enough. And if you think this, I'm inclined to agree with you. But then we still need to figure out what's going on in Jesus' encounter with this woman and why Jesus appears to call her and her daughter dogs. If Jesus' use of dogs isn't misogynistic, if Jesus isn't down on her because she's a woman, and if we instinctively presume Jesus isn't racist, then exactly what is going on here? Geography and history play important background roles in this story. Jesus and his disciples have withdrawn to, or perhaps towards, the region of Tyre and Sidon, which isn't in Israel, but in present-day Jordan, on the Mediterranean coast. And even at this point in the first century AD, the region of Tyre and Sidon isn't in majority Jewish territory. Matthew tells us the woman is a Canaanite, someone whose ancestors historically had caused all kinds of problems for the Israelites, and they them. But Matthew also tells us that she, a Canaanite, calls Jesus the Son of David, a Jewish messianic term. Her use of the term suggests that whatever the historical animosity between the Israelites and Canaanites, Her motherly concern for her daughter's well-being has pushed her to approach and perhaps even cross ethnic and territorial boundaries. She, a Canaanite mother, sees something distinctive about this man, this Jewish man, Jesus. She needs the Jewish Messiah to step in and do what he does best: heal, restore, save. And in seeking Jesus out, she takes the initiative. As we've already seen, the disciples want Jesus to send the Canaanite mother away, possibly just to get rid of her, but possibly also with her request granted. But Jesus' response to the disciples here is challenging. I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. Why does Jesus say this? His statement, even if true, is tone deaf. But perhaps he's saying it to the disciples alone. Perhaps he doesn't intend for anyone else to hear it. Or perhaps Jesus does want the woman to hear it, so she takes the hint and leaves, but without the humiliation of having been sent packing. Who knows? But this takes us back to Jesus' initial silence. It's possible, as I said earlier, that Jesus doesn't say anything at first because, as a rabbi, he's using the situation as a learning opportunity for his disciples. How will they, as good Jewish men, respond to a Canaanite woman's persistence in the face of personal pain? Perhaps Jesus is testing the disciples to see what they do, not only with a woman, but with a woman from a different ethnic background. Men and a woman who've been shaped in complex ways by a shared social history of hatred. Matthew doesn't tell us why Jesus says, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." But isn't the silence from the disciples at this point deafening? The disciples say nothing, either to affirm Jesus or to speak up on the Canaanite mother's behalf. And again, Matthew doesn't tell us why. He leaves us to fill in the blanks. Of course, it could be the Canaanite mother bursts in, making herself known to Jesus directly before any of the disciples even have a chance to say anything. "Lord, help me," she cries, kneeling before Jesus. And Jesus, apparently again indifferent and insensitive to this mother's needs, simply responds, "It's not right to take the children's bread, toss it to the dogs." This, coupled with a previous statement about being sent only to the lost sheep of Israel, is what leads us to ask the question: is Jesus racist? It could be, of course, that Jesus is racist. Or if not deliberately racist, then certainly casually racist, as we might expect of anyone born into a society which regarded itself as the chosen people of God. And so Jesus deploys a metaphor, a provocative metaphor, an insulting metaphor, involving bread and children and dogs. "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." Jesus has bread, nourishing bread, but it's only for the children of Israel. The bread Jesus has is only for Jewish people, like his disciples. The bread Jesus has is not for other people, not for dogs. It's not bread for the Canaanite woman. It's not bread for the Canaanite woman's daughter. The charge Jesus is racist carries real weight. But if we presume Jesus is not racist, casually or otherwise, then something else must be going on here. Is all this some kind of test, both for the disciples and for the Canaanite woman? Here are two reasons why I think this is certainly plausible. First of all, when we look through the Old Testament, we find numerous instances of people, from Abraham to Jacob, from Moses to Job, challenging God, testing to see whether God actually knows what God is doing, trying to see whether God has any real clue about what it means to live in a corrupt world, any genuine idea of what it means to be human. Is it possible Jesus is doing similarly, testing on the one hand his Jewish disciples on their foreign policy, and on the other hand testing the Canaanite woman's resolve in getting what she needs from the Jewish Messiah? And second, when we look through the Old Testament, and even through Matthew's Gospel itself, we find numerous references that every nation, every ethnicity, and not just the Jewish people, belongs to God. God promises to bless the entire world through Abraham's descendants, the Jewish people, whose Messiah just happens to be Jesus. We see this in today's reading from Isaiah. The Lord will not, emphatically will not, exclude anyone, including non-Jewish people, who commit themselves to the Lord and keep the Lord's covenant. The Jewish people remain God's chosen people, even to this day. But anyone who binds themselves to the Lord is part of the same chosen people. Perhaps the Canaanite woman senses this. By calling Jesus Lord, Son of David, in the first place, perhaps she signals an intention to bind herself to the God of Israel. Perhaps by calling Jesus Lord, Son of David, she makes Jesus aware she is ready for the sort of testing usually reserved for Israelites, despite the personal agony driving her to him. And so she says, "Yeah, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." She recognizes Jesus is Israel's Messiah. But she also appears to know that Jesus does have something for her, a Canaanite. Where there are enough crumbs, there is a banquet. And banquets are never served under the table, only at the table. So having bound herself to the Lord Jesus, having shown great faith, the Canaanite mother returns home, her daughter free from demon possession, her request granted. The Canaanite mother and her daughter have eaten the children's bread at the master's table. So let's return now to my three questions. First, is Jesus indifferent? I would say no. Jesus is not indifferent. Not to me, not to you, not to the world. Today's passage from Matthew shows Jesus ultimately healing the Canaanite mother's daughter, even if she's put through the ringer beforehand. I don't know why Jesus does this sort of thing, but it does seem characteristic of God's ways of dealing with certain people. Perhaps Jesus knew the woman could take it. Perhaps Jesus knew the disciples needed their mindset shaken. Lots of perhapses. But Jesus is not indifferent to you, and he's not indifferent to where you are today. Second, is Jesus a misogynist? I would say no. Jesus is not a misogynist. I don't see anything here in today's passage suggesting Jesus hated women, or even that the society in which he lived had shaped him to the point where he discriminated against women simply because they were women. In fact, I suggest Jesus shows more respect to the Canaanite woman than the disciples do, because he treats her as an equal dialogue partner. There's no suggestion in the passage the disciples ever said anything to the Canaanite woman at all. So let me assure you all here today that Jesus is not a misogynist. That said, anyone here who has bound themselves to the Lord Jesus is called to examine themselves for their attitudes to and conduct before women. And finally, is Jesus racist? I hope you can guess what I'm going to say. No. Jesus isn't racist. He is definitely not racist. Jesus' immersion in the writings of Israel, including what we Christians call the Old Testament, means he could not engage with people from different ethnicities without being aware that his God and Father is not only the God of Israel, but the God of the whole world. This awareness shaped the way he dealt with non-Jewish people. In the same way, let's allow it to shape the way we deal with people who don't share our particular ethnicities. Jesus knew God loved the Canaanite woman, just as God loves every single person, regardless of their ethnicities, and even because of their ethnicities. Jesus wasn't going to reject the Canaanite woman, for she had bound herself to the Lord. And because Jesus knew this, perhaps he felt free to push her in ways he couldn't his disciples. Perhaps he knew the Canaanite woman was able to push and transcend boundaries in ways his disciples were not. As I said at the beginning, this passage from Matthew's Gospel could easily have been part of our short series on difficult Bible passages. I've aimed to lead us through the passage, pointing out why it's a difficult passage and offering some possibilities about how to read it. I'm not asking you to agree with me about everything I've said, though it'd be nice for me if you did, of course, but I am asking you, in a few moments of silence now, to ask God's Holy Spirit to speak to us through this passage. So first of all, ask God's Holy Spirit to show us where we're indifferent to others' needs and pains, and to grant us compassion to act. And now ask God's Holy Spirit to show us, even if we are women ourselves, where we fail women by denying them opportunities to flourish, and in Isaiah's words, to grant us courage to maintain justice and do what's right. Ask God's Holy Spirit to show us where racist attitudes are buried deep within us, both as individuals and as a church, and to keep our hands from doing any evil. So, Holy Trinity, with St. John's, will be a house of prayer for all nations. And finally, ask God's Holy Spirit to bless us with the Canaanite mother's tenacity so we aren't afraid to question God when things aren't right, to argue with God when God's answers don't make any sense, to protest against God when God's ways seem messed up and confused, and ultimately, like the Canaanite mother, to show great faith in our Lord Jesus, Israel's Messiah, King of the whole world. Amen.